attending to Russell on 9-0.
Mr. President?
Yes, just a minute.
Thank you, sir. He'll be right with you.
No, those papers. I just want those papers on the desk. I didn't know. No, it's the secretary. I just want the papers on the desk.
Hello.
Hello.
De Gaulle's going to recognize Communist China. And the question comes whether we either ought to protest it rather strongly or whether we ought to just let the government protest it. You've got two or three questions in there for the record. And our disposition is to just let the government protest it ahead of time and ask him to defer it. He'll pay no attention to it.
You mean the government have a tempo on?
No, the United States. The United States government would just say to him in a message that we hope you won't do this over the Secretary of State signature. And then when
I think that may be all right, but I wouldn't go too strong on it, Mr. President, because he ain't going to pay much attention to it.
He's not going
to
pay
it. Look bad when he goes ahead.
Well,
we really got no control over that foreign policy.
That's right, none whatever. And when
the time's going to come, and we might as well, we can't talk about it now, but the time's going to come, and we're going to have to recognize
it. Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any question.
I ain't too sure, but what we'd have been better off with recognizing
so.
3 or 4 years ago.
I think so. It's the only thing Bill Douglas said.
Politically, right now, it's poison, of course.
Now, on the, I didn't want to wake you up last night and the night before, too, but. We stood pretty well to our original line we had with him and this, the president of Panama. And you remember, I told him that this was started by school kids and they came on, their people marched on our land and they killed our soldiers and that we regretted the situation that violence developed and we ought to restore quiet and calmness. And once we did that, we could have any discussions we needed to. They came back immediately and says that we had to have a complete revision of all treaties which affect Panama, because that which we have at the present time is nothing but a source of dissatisfaction. And I told him in response to that we must make them calm and stop the rioting and quit the violence and quit shooting people and get all the facts. And Mr. Mann would come for that purpose. Then I'd be glad to receive any suggestions Mr. Mann had. And he came back again and said that he spoke to President Kennedy in 61 about this, and not a thing's been done to leave this situation which provoked the violence, and something had to be done. I told him there's nothing we can ever do that justifies violence. We cannot look forward or backward, but what we must do is review with responsible and able trusted officials the situation and stop the violence. And that violence is never a way to settle anything, and he and Secretary Mann ought to get together and restore quiet and calm, and we'd be glad to listen to them on anything they want to discuss. They came back, told Mann in his first meeting, I'm reading from a telephone conversation there. When Mann met with him, they told him he had to review the treaties and so on and so forth.
Mr. President, Mr. Mann showed me some of the stuff that he had there, where he talked to him that last time when he was leaving, when he said he's going to withdraw all his recognition on whether he's going to take down the sign over the embassy and so forth.
Yeah, I say, all right.
I told him to come by here.
Yeah, yes, I did. But what I want to do is just bring you up to just one quick thing here. This is a conversation. Now then, when it got down there, they said we can't pee a drop until you revise the treaties. So they came back for instructions from me, and I gave them, the State Department gave me 4 pages, and I wrote 4 lines, which I think I went over with you. One, we have confidence in you in advance. This is to Mann, and we concur in what you've done. We agree with your recommendation in the last paragraph on the flag issue. You tell the president we cannot negotiate under pressure, violence, and breach of relations, and therefore his demand for agreement, structural revision of treaties is unacceptable. You should tell him that in appropriate circumstances, when peace has been restored, we'll give sympathetic welcome to discussion of all troubles and all problems. So Mann held to that, and they broke up relations and told him to get the hell on out of there. Now, they gave down their milk last night, but they came in this damn peace committee with a statement that we agreed to negotiate the revisions with them. So, and the last one, because of the situation created by the Panama Canal. That's what they proposed at this Italian dinner that I was having at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I came back out, and I didn't want to talk to you, but I just didn't like the word negotiate. So I struck negotiate wherever it appeared and said, we'll be glad to discuss, as we're always willing to discuss with anybody, Khrushchev, anybody else, any problem. We're not going to negotiate any revision of treaties. And if we are wrong, if we've done something wrong, if we're in error any place, if we made a misjudgment, we, of course, would be glad to correct it. But we're not going to yield one bit on the instructions, the conversation I had, and the instructions I gave man. And we're not going to do it by implication or innuendo or connotation that this means that we're in the wrong or that there's something wrong with the treaties. And so that went back, and the Peace Commission considered that till midnight, and then they came back in and agreed to my deletions. So the language now says that the Inter-American Peace Commission, based on its statutes, which authorize it to offer its good offices to the states, this is their announcement, has arrived on conversation with representatives of the Republic in the United States, notes of satisfaction in the reestablishment of peace, which is an indispensable condition for understanding and negotiation between the parties. As a consequence, the committee has invited the parties to reestablish their diplomatic relations as quickly as possible. The parties have agreed to accept this invitation, and as a consequence thereof, agreed to begin to discussions, which will be initiated 30 days after relations are reestablished by means of representatives who will have powers to discuss without limitation all existing matters of any nature which affect the relations between the United States and Panama. Now, that's the way we closed it up. Now, is that in line with your thinking?
That's all right.
I want to be
sure. All right, because we could not, under any circumstances, say we wouldn't talk to them.
No, you're too arrogant when you get to that. Just won't talk.
You knew that. You've got to always be willing to talk.
But we don't want to imply. Now, the lead on the story out of the Panama Canal at 7 o'clock that was leaked down there was that the United States had agreed to a revision of the treaties.
Yeah,
and
it
took us 4 hours to kill that. It took us 4 hours.
Yeah, that came in on the radio.
We had to call the head of the United Press in New York and tell him, finally tell him that the president would call him himself and reading these instructions if you didn't quit putting out that stuff. But that's what we're up against. And I just want now, do you think the situation's going all right up there?
It's been miscast a little in the press, but I think it's all right.
Well, I don't think that got in the press much. I think it's pretty well.
It's on the radio then. It got on the radio, but I've had it myself.
It came at 7, but we corrected it before the...
Maybe it's 5 o'clock.
What are you doing at that time of night?
Well, I've got a bad habit of waking up during the night, and it's right near the radio time. I always listen.
Well, I wish you'd call me.
Wake you up 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I want you to know that I think we've done I think that we have... I honestly think that being firm with them caused them to cave. Now, that's my judgment.
About it, and we just had to do it. I saw that happen full hours now down there. His instinct told him not to go as far as he did, but all the professors, including his brother, who he thought was God, told him to go that way, and he did. And it just got him in trouble and got you in trouble. And it got the United States in trouble. But it's all right. They're going to blackmail us, and we'll have to give them a little increase every once in a while. That's sweet, but $500,000.
Why shouldn't we? Why don't we build another canal? They always
well,
canal,
I didn't
they say.
But you're talking about a $200 million project.
Well, I know that. But we're going to have this hail all the time. And
you're not going to distinguish it just because you change the locale. Whoever, whatever Central American government's there, within 20 years, there'll be down here just like the Panamanians.
Right? I think they would sure sober these up if they thought we were going to. I don't see why you don't.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Why don't you have a few folks up there say, call on me to build another one?
I'll be glad to make a statement on that.
I think I would.
Well, we've had surveys made, you know, and it's feasible through both Nicaragua and Colombia.
I think you ought to get in this foreign policy thing a little bit, and I think you ought to give out some background.
I thought I said we agreed that at least we talk about this Panama.
No, but it's already settled now, and I think it's already made a progress, and you ought to say that I'm glad that you're glad that that we've taken the position we have, and that we ought to have another canal.
We've been subjected to.
I think you ought to get your old mate friends like Garth Sleason and May Craig and some of them in there, and get Phil Potter and the AP boy.
Oh, May, she's red hot. I talked to her.
AP and AP.
I said he's just standing like stone wall. I said he's not letting the State Department or anybody bulldoze him. He's standing firm for orderly procedure and American rights.
Now, I got a fight on with Muskie, and maybe a little with Mansfield. They want me to send that damn fella Coffin from Maine and got hell defeated out of him.
I
held it up. Tell you what I'm getting ready to do. I've got a boy named Vaughn who's got a master's degree in Latin American studies, who was a private in the Marines and went to a major during the war, who has been in charge of a Latin American mission, 2 or 3 of ours, from in Bolivia and in Panama, and has a great way with the Mexicans, who speaks Spanish very fluently, and who I ran into in Dakar. He had 3 or 4 countries in Africa, and he's practical, and he's able, and he's tough as hell. I just think that he's 45 years old, and I just think I'll call him in here. He speaks Spanish good, and bar him from the Peace Corps, and just tell him to hell with him and send him down there.
Is he with the Peace Corps?
Yes, sir. And he's in charge of all Latin America for him. And he's never had any problems with him. He not only gets along with Latin America pretty well, but he's a tough operator with other agencies. And he just whips any of the State Department.
Well, that's
he's
the one you need, then.
He beats them in their conferences over here in front of us. He just takes them all on.
That's the man you need, then.
I don't believe any man going to Marines or private and come out as a major without...
There's a number of young fellas in this State Department, consular officers. There's a boy down there in Guatemala, in the head of the consular there. Whose father had a career diplomat. I can't remember his name.
Well, I wish you'd get it. I need, more than anything else, young bilingual people in Latin America. Tom Mann's the only fellow we really got that, you see, most of them wanted the European desk. Most of them wanted to go to Switzerland, to Paris or some other place.
This fellow's a Catholic. I believe his name's Corrigan, but I'll check
get his name for him.
I've got his name in my
bio. Have you got any real top men that you want anything for in Georgia that are real administrators?
Not right now. I want you to appoint Carl Sanders something and quit running him against me for the Senate.
I wouldn't run him against you for anything.
That big piece down there, McGill said he's going to run, and then this Fuquay says that he's Johnson's choice came out today in the Augusta paper down there.
I would resign.
He showed that, said that Johnson, showed his Johnson choice because he had him up there among all others from the Southeast, and he sees this great young leader of the South coming.
Well, I did that. Lady Bird did that for one reason, because he's from your state. That's why she did that.
Okay, but Ralph McGill made a speech at Davidson College here 3 days ago and said, we are satisfied now that we can beat Russell.
Well, you wait, Lady Bird gives you that party down here. We just don't want to overdo it with you because you've got problems with civil rights, and I don't think you're taking up with it. With a no good, but
I don't want to put anything on you.
You don't need to.
I got my friends good as they look after me.
You don't need to worry about anybody ever running against you if I've got 1 ounce of influence.
Well, I was supposed to need
them,
but they did say it. Ain't no question about it. I'll bring copies.
Lady Bird thought she was trying to be nice to some state.
That wasn't it altogether. It was natural. It was.
And you brought him down there. I didn't bring him down there. I never saw Sanders, so you brought him down there.
He's a nice boy.
I know it.
He's got a lot on the ball.
So he's just about the difference. The same relationship. My relationship with Sanders is just compared to you is just like my relationship to George Aiken compared to you.
Well,
just
as
different.
I wouldn't complain about that. I was teasing you, of course. I wouldn't sweat it. The phone hadn't been teased.
Well,
I do need
some real young, able Bobby Russell type fellas. I got a deputy postmaster general that administers that post office department, and it's a hell of a business operation. But I need a young, able administrator that could do it. And
got some vision, not hidebound
and
not prejudice.
I need some people in some of these state things. I could send 1 or 2 if we had a good Georgia boy. I could make him ambassador someplace.
Well, a man asked me about Tapley Bennett, who's over in Greece. He said he's going to try to get you sent in Latin America. His dad is one of my best friends. I ever raised him. He's a hell of a good boy. He's a consul in Greece. A man asked me today but I thought about him. I said, I think he's one of the smartest young fellas I know. He said, I do too. I said, I'm going to try to get get him over here and send him down to Latin America. So that's where he belongs. And he's down there for a number of years. He don't belong over in Greece. But then if I see anybody can help the administration to help you, I'll let you know.
Goodbye. Much obliged. This is the goal thing. You just think we ought to play it as low-key and just make a little protest for the record.
Low-key and for the record, make a protest against him. Mm-hmm. I sure would.
But you wouldn't personally do it?
No, I wouldn't. I'd let the Secretary of State do it. That's government. That's you. He's your spokesman in those matters.
Now, you do a little bit of talking.
There's going to be a time you're going to have to get together, old man, to go all in. And when you go talking to him, I want to be under the best circumstances possible.
You do a little talking, maybe a statement to these repressed people up there on this Panama thing now while it's hot. Mr. Nixon's trying to butt into it, and I think we cut his water off pretty quick by settling him.
Well, maybe so, but it'd be ridiculous to have him trying to advise him.
No, but he is, but you can point that out in talking to him.
Well, all right.
Goodbye.
I will. Bye.